love how you clap before you hear what I'm going to say. It's so good. Amen. It's prophetic. Can we give it up for Sonia for doing such a good job? I have this ongoing joke with Sonia that was the one that forced her to do announcements and then our church news, and she's the best at it. And so I'm like, you know, I still get 10%, you know, agent fee once she gets famous. So, and as she works at Trader Joe's, it's funny. She says people just come up to her, talk to her about church stuff. Like, she's like, oh yeah, okay, right. You know, it's like, it's awesome. Well, I am not Pastor Caleb, so, or Pastor Rachel, right? What? They are in Russia, somewhere in Siberia. I'm not sure right now because they're going to 5 different places. And so Pastor Caleb and Rachel, they send their greetings. Hopefully next Sunday we'll have a video greeting from them. And we have our team there from our school of ministry students. So it's awesome. We had our team come back from Mexico. Who went to Mexico? Let's get a whoop whoop. Some of our students, our middle schoolers and high schoolers, went down to Rancho de Sus Niños, and again, school of ministry chaperones and other parents, and heard some great things. What we will do on Wednesday night is our pursuit night. We'll do two things. One, we'll hear from some of the reports from Mexico, all right? And we'll also be continuing to pray for our team in Russia. So it's a teaser to get you to come on Wednesday, right? But again, I encourage you not just to pray on Wednesday, but we will gather to do that corporately. But let's be praying for our team, all right? They're in Russia, you know, and so we love them. And so, but again, let's cover them in prayer. So what we're going to do, and they send their love, of course, we're going to jump into the message. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and jump into, this is actually part 4. Hope for Change. I don't know why it says part 2. That's my bad. And I realized some of the fill-ins I actually filled in for you. So I guess that's how I like it, right? Just in case you weren't paying attention. So we've been doing this series called Hope is Alive. You guys have been loving this series, right? It's so good. We've been having testimonies, video testimonies. It's been so awesome. The cool thing about this series is, and again, all our series is here, we record them, and we put them on our YouTube channel, so you can live stream our services. But just in case you missed last week and you want to catch up, you can go to newlifenovato.com or go directly to our YouTube channel. I just have it, you know, following that, so I get updates from them. And also, all the testimonies are there. So if you want to listen to them again, you can do so. Also, what I like to do sometimes is send somebody a link to the message. Right? I don't know if your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend, they give you the Holy Ghost elbow in church, right? When there's some point that they really feel like you need to get, right? You can do that with a link. You just cue it up right to that part. You send it to them, and well, that's what I do. So again, that is available. We're gonna pray into this message. So my title today is Hope for Change. Does anybody need change in their life at all? Raise your hand. Okay, wow, that was good. The first service didn't do that. If you didn't raise your hand, raise your hand. How many people just don't raise their hand? Okay, all right. Let's just pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, that there's hope for change. Lord, whatever area in our life, whether brokenness, pain, hurt, sickness, you know, relationships, Father, Lord, you can show up. Lord, I'm praying that you would just fill us with an abundance of hope, Lord, that we can have hope for change, for breakthrough, for victory, Lord, that our current circumstances and situations are not permanent, Lord, that we can come into every good thing you have for us, Lord, there's no mountain too big, no obstacle too high, Lord, so Lord, I'm praying for just a release fresh, Lord, hope today, and all God's people would say, amen. We've been talking about the definition for hope. Hope means confident, joy-filled expectation of good to come. It's a good definition, right? Hope means confident, joy-filled expectation. It should be the next slide, I believe, of good to come. And I think many times I've had expectation of things to come, but they haven't always been good. Or maybe not joy-filled, right? But that's what this word is about. That's what this hope is about. Pastor Caleb spoke about your hope tank. You guys remember that a couple weeks ago? And he used this analogy of his car and a game that he likes to play, right? Where he tries to, like, pull into the gas station just on the fumes, right? When the tank is, like, and he says that his cars have the gauge where it says, you have 27 miles before you're out of gas. And he's like, okay, the gas station's 28 miles, so let me try to push it, you know, and just get there. And his wife prayed last week that God would deliver him from that problem, right? So we'll come in agreement with the wife's prayers. But he talked about how it's not a good strategy to run through life on empty, just coasting in on fumes, right? And I like to tell a story about, we have this Volkswagen GTI. I think it's 2006. But it's like a 1.8 turbo. And now we have a family car, but we still have that and still drive that. And you got to have a family car, right? Once you have car seats and, you know, gear. You get so much gear when you have a baby, right? So finally organized my garage, and then I had, you know, a child. But never mind. But we have this GTI, and we first got it. We noticed this problem where you'd be driving it, and you'd be on the freeway or wherever. It seemed like it always happened on the freeway, but all of a sudden it would pop out of gear. So it's still, car's still running, but it's like you put your foot on the gas, it's like nothing. And you're like, slowing down. Like, this is not good, right? So hopefully, you know, you could downshift and it would catch again and you'd be back on your way. And so, like, this is not good. This is sketchy, right? And it would be one thing if you're driving under perfect conditions. There's nobody on the road, perfect weather conditions. It's not raining. It's not windy. But, you know, if you're in a critical driving situation that happens, that could be a sketchy accident or whatever, right? And so I was talking to my wife about this because she drives it more than I do. And so especially when we got it, we're trying to figure out why it does this and what do we do. And we finally realized it only did it when the gas gauge got in the red zone, right? And so probably a mechanic can explain it to me. And it wasn't like the light coming on. It's about an eighth of a tank. So right when you get, you know, past a quarter of a tank, right when you know, probably should just get gas generally, right? It'll do this to you, right? And so the quick fix is just to be full, right? Quick fix is just never get in the red zone, right? And you don't have that problem. And so that's what we've been doing for the most part, right? And so just the other day, I had to teach on Tuesday night. We have our school of ministry on Tuesdays, and it's been awesome. And I'm at home, and we switch cars because the family car, you know, whoever has the baby has the Highlander, has the stroller, has the gear, right? And so I get in the Volkswagen, and I'm like, oh, wait, is there gas in there? She's like, it probably needs gas, right? And so, and of course, I get in there, and I'm like, oh, it's right in that zone, right? And so I'm like, okay, I got time for gas. So I go stop. There's a gas station right by East Washington exit in Petaluma. I live in Petaluma. So go pull in and, you know, put my card in. All of a sudden, it doesn't work. I try it again, you know, and then I actually try another card. And like, what is going on? And then I finally go towards the door, and it says, oh, yeah, cash only. You know, credit card machine not working. I'm like, dang it. And so I'm like, well, hopefully there's not a lot of cars on the road, right? And so, of course, on my way, it does that. But again, I'm prepared for it. You know, and I survive, and I'm still here. Praise the Lord. But I don't recommend that. But all you have to do for this car is just not let it get in the red zone. Right? And I think our lives are the same way. To reiterate what Pastor Caleb was talking about is that, you know, we don't want to live in the red zone. Because guess what? Life is not perfect driving conditions. There's going to be something crazy that goes on in your life. If you're not going through something crazy right now, you just wait, right? We all take our turn with adversity, right? So let's just be full. Amen? You guys receive that? All you people who drive on empty. So, Romans 15, verse 13 says this. I'm going to read this first in the King James. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope. I love that. Fountain of hope, right? fill you to the to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with this superabundance until you radiate with hope. So it's saying like, hey, you're going to be so full, you're going to be glowing. Right? You're going to be glowing. It's going to be coming through your pores. You're going to be so saturated that people bump into you, they're going to get wet from hope. They're going to be contaminated with hope. And we're going to pray that it's contagious, all right? Hope. We're so full. And just like free refills, right? It's an American thing, I realize, when you go to other countries. It's like America, right? Free refills, right? But does anybody, you know, it's like, yeah, you can, as kids, you're like, let's see how long we can hang out in the restaurant and how many sodas we can drink or whatever it is. But I like to say in the kingdom, there are free refills. So turn to your neighbor and say, hey, there are free refills in the kingdom. I also have this other, we used to have this other Volkswagen. I'm not bashing Volkswagens by any means. I actually liked both these cars, but they had their quirks. And we had a Volkswagen Cabrio, and it was a convertible. Of course, my wife picked it out, and it's a chick ride, right? And I had to really be confident in my masculinity to drive it, but that's another story. But I'm all good with that. So, no, it's unhealed. It's all good. In that area. But one of the things that would happen with the car, it drove great. It's actually a great little car for a long time. But one of the things that would happen is for a while there, we'd get these check engine lights and these other fault lights that would come on, but it would be like an intermittent thing. And don't you hate intermittent problems? You're like, you just think you figured it out, or you just got some part or something to treat it, and all of a sudden the light goes away. You're like, oh my gosh. And then it comes back, you know, and you're kind of playing this game and you don't know what it is. But one of the things I realized is one time I put high-octane gasoline in it, right? Premium in it, right? And guess what? The light went away, right? And I realized, again, if I just put better gas in it, those problems weren't there anymore. So it's not just only about being full, right? But what are you full of? What is the fuel you're running on, right? Because I want to be full of Jesus. I want to be full of his presence. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'm going to ask you right now, what have you been feeding on? You know, what are you feeding on? So that's what are you watching? What are you looking at? That's your eye gate. Listening to, your ear gate, thinking about, meditating on, and then speaking. Right? Because that's what we're feeding on. It's that constant, you know, cycle. What we watch, what we hear, what we see, what we think about, then what we speak. Right? And one of the things I've learned to do in my Christianity, and I've just picked this up again as a everyday thing. I think I fell off the wagon for a while, but I'm back on, is that because there's so many things. You just turn on the news. Again, it doesn't have to be you're watching, you know, really, really bad stuff. But you just turn on the news, and there's crazy problems. And if you just let those things consume your thoughts, you're feeding on the wrong thing, right? That's going to affect your thoughts. It's going to affect your speech. It's going to affect your life. Your joy tank is going to be depleted, right? You're not going to have the right fuel to sustain what God wants to do for the breakthrough in your life. And so one of the things I've learned to do is, anybody know when you're like really tired and you're dirty and you're like too tired to take a shower, but you really know, I guess it's just guys here, like Kyle laughs, amen. Amen, brother. But if you take a shower, you feel so much better. And you end up sleeping so much better. You're like, oh, it just took another, you know, 10 minutes, and now I feel so much better, sleep better. And well, I would encourage you to do the same thing with the Word of God before you go to bed. I call it a spiritual shower. Whatever you were thinking about, whatever you watched, whatever you listened to, whatever problems happened, drama happened, get in the Word before you go to bed. You're just going to wash your mind. You're going to wash your spirit. You're going to take away, and it's going to wash it, then it's going to fill it with God's word. Right? It doesn't take that long. I encourage you, and again, sometimes at night you're tired, you're not at your best. It's not like I'm going to have this intense Bible study and look up the Greek and the Hebrew and other translation. No, don't do that. Unless you're good at night, but you're like, that's when I'm at my best. But I encourage you, just pick a portion of scripture that's easy for you to get into. Maybe it's the Psalms or the Proverbs or something you like, or the New Testament where it's like the book of James or Peter. Just something that you're easy to start reading. And I just start reading. And I'm not really stopping. I'm not really pausing. I'm just letting it wash me. And then guess what? All of a sudden, then God's going to speak to you. All right? And so again, spiritual shower. Encourage you to do that. And again, it doesn't take that long. And it's a good way to do that. You know, there's this whole movement out here about eating clean. You know those people, right? Once I say that, I feel like I'm being judged right now. It's all right. You can judge me. You guys can put that, you can put that slide up there. Eat clean. Got to wash that chocolate before you eat it. Amen. Someone's like, I just got a word from God right now. There's this other meme out there. I didn't pull it up, but it's this guy, and he says they told me to eat clean, and he's in a bathtub eating pizza, and it's like nailed it, right? So you can look that up on your own, but pizza, right? Yeah. But there's this thing of what are we putting in? We know it in the natural. We know it's so good in the natural. If we're not eating the right foods, we're going to crash. We're not going to be healthy. We're going to have influence. We're going to have lots of problems. I'm not, again, I'm preaching to myself here. So we'll get too into that until the end, until the altar call maybe. But that's what we need to do. Be full of the right fuel. That's so simple. That's what Pastor Caleb was talking about. And then last week, Pastor Rachel spoke about hope being the anchor of my soul. Remember she had the rope tied up there? Right? I think it's actually in the back. It's not tied up, right? And people, so funny, Tanya's like, she's going to swing on the rope. I'm like, no. Because I did tie that. I helped her tie that. And I'm like, just praying that it would stay. And then I kind of tugged on it. And I'm like, I heard some creaking. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not gonna tug this one. But she was talking about hope being the anchor of her soul. Who were you anchored to? What holds you in place? Who do you lean on in the crisis, in the circumstance? And she talked about 1 Samuel chapter 30 about King David. This is actually before he was the king. And this is one of the lowest moments of his life. And he was in Ziklag. They were out, him and his mighty men, him and his crew. And what happened was they get back, and the enemy of the Amalekites came in, and they raided the whole city. And they took all of his family, all his kids, wife, kids, all of his stuff, and then burned the rest, right? This is a low point in his life. And the crazy thing about King David, if you read his story, it's like he had the craziest highs and the lowest of lows, right? The guy killed the lion, he killed the bear, he killed Goliath. Then he had moments like this. He had moments when Saul was throwing spears at him, right? You know, he's hiding out in a cave for like 2 years on the, you know, he had these crazy moments of victories and lows. And sometimes I'm like, I'm glad I'm not that guy. I got problems, but perspective, right? But one of the things about, I want to share with you is that hope many times precedes faith. In the story that Rachel was sharing about King David, what he did, you know, he, before he got that word to pursue, before he heard from God, he had to have hope for this situation, right? And as that hope was built, then he was able to hear from God and step out in faith, okay? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's the hope has to be there. Hope is in the equation. Before that word comes many times, before that faith is released. So if we can have Abby come up here. Abby can just come right to the front. And let's give Abby a hand and a holler. You can stand right there. And so, it's a little object lesson. What do you do when life throws you lemons. Think about it. I'm going to show you what I do. People are like, how did you learn to juggle? I like to say I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, so no, I'm just kidding. It's partially true, but never mind. Healed, Jesus. But the saying goes, you make lemonade. Okay, maybe not all of you can juggle, but I always like to juggle lemons, actually. Anytime I see them, it's fun. But one of the things about lemons is like, I do think we should have the right attitude. We should have fun with it. We should learn to turn our lemons into lemonade. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing, but I'm saying that's actually the, doesn't say that in the scripture, but it's definitely, doesn't say it quite like that, you know, turn lemons into lemonade. But there's this idea of using those challenges and connecting with the Lord in them. And so there's room to write how you respond when life throws lemons at you. Okay, my first point of the message, number one, you're like, John has spoken a lot, not giving us a point. So here it is. Focus on the solution more than just the problem. What do you do when that lemons are thrown at your life? What do you do? We have to focus on the solution more than just the problem. Sometimes we focus on the problem, like King David. It's like, what did he do? They're like, my kids are gone, my family's gone, all my stuff's gone. They cried until there was no tears anymore. Then his men wanted to kill him, right? I'm not saying you never look at the problems in your life, but there was a point where he had to look to the answer. Who's the answer? All right, I'm going to share a little story about Sunday school. This is a Sunday school teacher. And she was trying to use this as an object lesson, and she said, I'm going to describe something, and I want you to raise your hand when you know what it is. So again, it's a Sunday school classroom and elementary students, and the children were excited to show what they knew and leaned forward eagerly, right? And they're like, oh, I know. Like, how many kids were like that? They like to, anybody? Okay, just me. Teacher's pets like me. No, And so she goes on and she says, I'm thinking of something that lives in trees and eats nuts. No hands went up. It can be gray or brown and has a long, bushy tail. The children looked around the room at each other, but still no one raised their hand. It chatters and sometimes it flips its tail when it's excited. Finally, one little boy shyly raised his hand. The teacher breathed a sigh of relief and said, okay, Michael, what do you think it is? Well, said the boy, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer's got to be Jesus. But if you've ever been in Sunday school, the answer is normally Jesus, right? It's normally Jesus. But that's what I want to say, the answer. We got to focus on the answer. Who is the answer in our situation? Who is the answer to our problem? It's Jesus. We need to focus on him. We need to look to him. And when King David did it, what did he do? Like after the crying was gone and the tears were gone, they didn't have any more tears. He said, bring me the ephod, which was the priestly garments, right? He's like, I'm going to get into priest mode, right? But what does it look like in your life? How do you connect with Jesus? How do you focus on the solution? I know what I try to do. I try to, like, get to a solitary place, like either my room or find a quiet place. Sometimes if I'm here at work, I'll just come into the sanctuary, like, in the dark and just lay in the corner or something on my phone. And I put on that one CD. Well, nobody has CDs, right? You put on that one album, those tracks, right? Sometimes we say tapes, and kids are like, what's a tape, right? Masking tape, right? But I put that on that helps me get in the presence of the Lord? Do you have that one song or that one album that just really helps you get there no matter what is going on? If you don't have one, you need to get one, all right? And if you're a worship person like Marie, you can probably bring out your ukulele or your guitar or your, you know, keyboard, or maybe you can just sing a cappella. Glory doesn't fall necessarily when I sing, so I let somebody else do it, right? But what do you do? How do you connect? Right? But you need to find the presence of the Lord. I also get my Bible out again. I'm starting to wash the Word. I'm just starting reading it. Just trying to get in the Word. Just prep my spirit to connect with the Lord. But sometimes when you're listening to somebody, you're not giving them your full attention. You're still thinking about what you said. Is there any husbands or wives out here that want? No, I'm just kidding. My wife is gone. So, no. So she can blame me later. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes maybe even right now you're not fully listening to me, which is all right. But sometimes we still see the problem. And I feel like when we come to Jesus, when we come to the Lord, when we say, you know, I need to focus. I need to have an encounter with you. Just like David, it's like, hey, I need to meet Jesus. Right? As he did this, and I think what God is speaking to me today, and I really think it's for us today, I think he's saying, he's like, look at me. Look at me. Just like a parent sometimes says to their kid, no, you stop. You look at me. I think sometimes kids do this to their parents. Mom, dad, stop. Look at me. Right? Come down to my level. And I think that's what Jesus is saying today. He says some of us need just to calm, focus on him. Look at him. All right? It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this word to gaze upon, or it's translated as we behold him, it also is translated to gaze upon, like stargazers, people that would study the sky. And I really think there's something in this, even in the word choice in the scripture about, if you ever look at the stars, you realize how big it is and how small we are, right? When we look at God, we should see how big he is and how small our mountain is, right? How small the obstacle is. When we go to God, we need that tank to just to be full, right? And then out of that place, then God can speak to us, amen? You can always interact with me. I told the first service, I said, yeah, feedback. I enjoy feedback unless you're a heckler. And then you can talk to Milt, but he'll straighten you out. Or my wife, but she's probably the biggest heckler here. So when it comes to me anyways, but you can always amen me or shout me down or. But one of the things also, I think, when we come to the Lord in this situation, this is going to be point number two. Sometimes we need to change our attitude. And this is number two. Change your attitude, change your life. Again, this message is about hope for change, right? So the point being, number one, right, focus on the solution, not just the problem, right? And I was sharing this in the first service, how sometimes, again, I'll use this food analogy about eating clean. We shouldn't be focusing on not eating the chocolate cake. Because what are we looking at? Chocolate cake. We should be focusing on the broccoli, amen? Right? Turn to your neighbor and say, focus on the broccoli. Or we should be focusing on our workout or whatever it is that we're going to be doing about it. Not just the problem. Focus on the solution. Right? And when we come to the Lord and we have this interaction, right? When we're in that moment, again, many times I come to the Lord and I'm like, God, change my situation. This is a bummer. I do not like the situation. Change it. Is it just me? Okay, all right. It's okay. But so many times in my life personally, my situation has not changed. until I've changed my attitude. I'm not saying that's doctrine. I'm not saying it always happens that way. Thank God it doesn't always happen that way, right? But most of the time in my life, I feel like God is saying, you know what? I need you to change your attitude and have a good attitude. Turn those lemons to juggling lemonade lemons. Amen. Second, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. We're going to read a few scriptures here. And it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining or disputing. Do what? That's what hurts, doesn't it? That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. All right? And this is a great scripture. There's a lot here. I'm going to just unpack a little bit. But again, changing our attitude is such a key in my life. If I really want breakthrough, and I've been carrying a bad attitude, carrying bad thinking, it's such a block. It's such a block to the answer to what God wants to do. Because every challenge is an opportunity for growth. Let's turn to your neighbor and say that. Some of us are like, I've grown enough, okay? I'm just no more in that area. But when it talks about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I remember when I first got saved and it was like, hey, you can't add anything to your salvation. It's done. It's by faith. You didn't earn it. And I'm like, amen. Yes, I received that. And that is 100% true. But then the scripture talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it took me a while to understand some of this. And I'm still, God is, you know, continues to give us revelation about his word and the depths of his word. But in my life, I've realized that when you become a believer, when you're born again, you partner with heaven. You're a co-heir with Christ. We cooperate with Christ, right? It's a partnership. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, hey, am I going to walk out my salvation today? Right? Am I going to walk it out? Am I going to work it out? Am I going to live it out? Is it going to come out in my marriage? Is it going to come out in the workplace? Is it going to come out in traffic? Is it going to come out? Right? Amen. Amen. Thank you. And we live it out. It's we participate with God, right? But I love this part. It says, as we work it out, then what does it say? It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says, hey, as we work it out on the outside, he's going to change us on the inside. Amen. I remember I went to visited somebody who had a stroke and I think it was UCSF, and they had this whole, like, rehab center. It's like a gym. It was super cool, and they were explaining some of the stuff. And one of the things they had was they had, like, these beanbags and beanbag targets, right? And I'm like, what are they doing? And they explained to me that, you know, one of the problems when you have a stroke is that connection between your brain and your, you know, your limbs, your arms, your fingers, your legs. There's a disconnect, right? And so you want to do something, but you don't have the control to do it. And they said, but by taking that beanbag and focusing on the target and throwing it and trying to get it there, you know, you're working your muscles, right? But you're also rewiring your mind. And it's hard. It's like these people did not have good target, like, aim when I was there, right? Because they were still in that rehab moment. They were still in that recovery moment. And I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure it was sore. I'm sure it was frustrating sometimes. And I think that's how it is with the Lord. When we work out our salvation, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't want to do the right thing. You know what I'm talking about? We don't want to have the right attitude. We don't want to say the right thing. But guess what? If we do it, even when it's hard, even when it's not 100% the way it should be, it's as we work it out, like it says in here, it says God is rewiring us from the inside. That connection is going from the hand all the way to the brain. And it becomes easier, and guess what? It becomes something we want to do. He'll even change our desires. Isn't that awesome? As we work it out, he works in us. I love that story. Point number three. Your past does not dictate your future. Turn to your neighbor and say, your past does not dictate your future. Now say this, say, my past does not dictate my future. And neither does your present. All right? Right? The present situation you're in, the circumstance you're in, does not dictate where you're going to end up. Amen? Right? Hey, I'm not saying there's not consequences to your actions. I'm not saying that. But God, there's no situation that is hopeless with Jesus. There's no situation. We can come into everything God has for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a good word right there. Thank you, Pastor John. Amen. So we're going to read that in the passage, in the Passion Translation. Caleb's got me onto this passage translation. I love it, TPT. It says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ and has become an entirely new creation, all that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, all things is fresh. Everything is fresh and new. Turn to your neighbor so you have a clean slate. Clean slate. You guys like that? I like that. Amen. Wish my wife was here again. No, I'm just kidding. Clean slate. It's all under the blood. Amen? We're going to show a testimony in a second here. But when God does a work in you, he does a work. There's an opportunity to break out of every issue in your life. Whatever brokenness, whatever hurt, whatever pain. There's an opportunity not only to make a U-turn, but to come fully into, again, every good thing he has for us. So let's just go ahead and roll that testimony.